Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond all my faults and he saw my need. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Oh, I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. Oh, he looks beyond all my faults and he saw my need. Let's sing that verse again. It was amazing grace that shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. All my faults, and he saw my need. Let's sing it again. Oh, I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where amen. You happy to be in church tonight? Amen. Good to be together to worship the Lord. I told one of the brothers downstairs, I said, it's pretty bad when you're on your fourth runner, fourth string song leader. But Brother Ben had to go to a family event this evening, of anniversary, I believe, for his parents. And Brother Furman's on call for work, and Brother Hoover's preaching tonight. So, amen. You're stuck with me. So let's just worship the Lord together. Let's sing this. I think we all know it, but it's number 170 in your hymn book if you don't. Well, I'm living below.
Stand and sing it. Oh, where could I go?
Find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. Oh, but we've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Praise God, this is like heaven to me. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, and when I get happy, I sing and I shout. The devil don't believe it, I see. Oh, but I'm filled with the Spirit. There isn't a doubt. Oh, and that's what's the matter with me. Oh, yes, that's what's the matter with me. Praise God. Oh, that's what's the matter with me. Oh, I'm filled with the Spirit. There isn't a doubt. And that's what's the matter with me. Oh, yes, when I get happy, I'll sing and I'll shout. The devil don't believe it, I see. Oh, but we're filled with the Spirit. There isn't a doubt. Oh, and that's, oh, what's the matter with you? Let me tell you tonight. Oh, that's what's the matter with me. Oh, that's what's the matter with me. I'm filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, there isn't a doubt. Oh, and that's what's the matter with me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. And this is like heaven to me.
Amen. You love the Lord?
My,
wonderful to be in his presence and have a testimony that I wanted to share with you. The lady that Brother Barry Weber had put in a prayer request for about 2 months ago, it was actually a person that he buys material from and has got to know pretty well. It was that gentleman's wife, and he had asked that Brother Barry remember in prayer. 2 months ago, he had put in a prayer request. She had cancer in her lungs and in her back, and was on a ventilator, and the doctor said that she only had 2 months left to live. But he just got word, it's been 2 months later, and she's off the ventilator, and she's back home, and she's doing fine. So we want to praise the Lord for that tonight.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. We find more and more that prayer changes things. Amen. So we've got some prayer requests we want to remember. Please remember Brother Chad Vaughn. He's sick at home tonight. And also Brother Darrell asked that we continue to remember Isaiah in prayer. And Sister Tina Bryant and Jackson Bryant, both not feeling well tonight. And Brother Jonathan Houchin asked that we remember his dad in prayer. He went to the doctor the other day, and they think that he has cancer in his chest. So he's going for a test tomorrow. So let's remember him in prayer. Whether it is cancer or whether it's not, we know that the Lord can change that situation before the doctors even look at him. So we'll just be believing together for our brother and just praying that the Lord will move on the scene in that way. Brother Sam, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? I know there's several, but we serve a God that's able to hear and answer prayer and come on the scene for everyone. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's so good to be in your presence this evening, Lord. We'll put the world aside, Lord. This day is dedicated to you. And Lord, as we enter into your presence, Lord, may you look down on the inside, into our hearts, Lord. And Lord, if there be anything that's not pleasing to you, Lord, we ask that you will remove it now, Lord. Deal with our lives, Lord, each one of us going through something. Lord, you're trying and testing us. The word must be tested, Lord. We know this. And Lord, may we pass the test in life, Lord. And we move up a little higher toward heaven tonight, Lord Jesus. Come down and fill every life with your presence, Lord. Anoint the minister tonight, Lord Jesus. And anoint our hearts and our ears and our eyes to see your precious word and to hear what you would say unto the church, Lord. Lord, these prayer requests that have been made known, Lord, you've heard them all. Sick and afflicted, Lord. And Lord, we know that's nothing for you, Lord. You just desire our faith. And Lord, these requests have been made known in faith, Lord. And we believe that you're a prayer answering God. And Lord, you hear the cries of your people. Lord, we thank you for the testimony of this miraculous healing, Lord. Of this person who was proclaimed, Lord, 2 months they would be gone. And Lord, here they are alive and well. And Lord, it's a testimony of the power and the resurrection of Almighty God, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for this atmosphere tonight, Lord. May we just enter in, Lord, cast all the imaginations away and just enter in your presence, Lord. We sit in heavenly places this evening, Lord. In your presence, Lord, we love you and we just adore you, Lord, and we thank you for saving our souls, Lord. Lord, if there be any loved one or a friend or associate, Lord, doesn't know you in your power and salvation, may you speak to them tonight and prick their hearts and bring them to repentance, Lord. We thank you now, Lord, for this service, and we give this this evening to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. At this time, we have a special from Sister Naomi Johnson, so if she come at this time.
Told you.
Amen. You appreciate that tonight? Amen. Certainly appreciate that, sister. Brother Hoover preached on that one time, burying fear. Brother Joel and them took funeral in a casket and took him right out the back door. So, amen. Fear is dead. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this together tonight. Number 321, your hymn book.
Oh, I am my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love. Yes, I am my beloved's, he is mine. His banner over me is love. Oh, I am my beloved's, he is mine. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. Oh, he's brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. Oh, he brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Oh, Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. His banner over me is love. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. His banner over me is love. My Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. His banner over me is love. Oh, his banner over me is love.
Let's stand and sing it this way.
Oh, Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. The rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Then he placed my feet on a firm foundation. His banner over me is love. Oh, he's placed my feet on a firm foundation. His banner over me is love. Now he placed me on a firm foundation. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. I am my beloved's. Oh, I am my beloved's. He is mine. His banner over me is love. Oh, I am my beloved's. He is mine. His banner over me is love. Oh, I am my beloved's. And he is mine. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. I believe we can sing it this way. Oh, now I am a new creation. His banner over me is love. Oh, now I am a new creation. His banner over me is love. Oh, now I am a new creation. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Oh, Jesus fills my cup to overflowing. His banner over me is love. Jesus fills my cup to overflowing. His banner over me is love. Jesus fills my cup to overflowing. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love.
Amen. Let's sing this tonight as we get ready to welcome Brother Hoover to the pulpit. Be praying for him tonight, and we'll just be believing for the Lord to place something on his heart that'll help us and encourage us praying for ourselves that we'll be able to receive whatever it is. Amen. Expecting a good time in the Lord. Oh, for a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, said I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His saving power. Oh, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Aren't you thankful tonight? Oh, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. So glad that I found out He could bring me out, show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that had taken its flight, like the blind man that God gave back His sight, like a poor wretched beggar who found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His holy name.
Glad you're free tonight. Amen. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. Well, you had a fourth string song leader, probably a fifth or sixth string preacher. So maybe this will work out. I can't remember. They told me at the church pitch-in, the Houchin family did, I got it right, that they had never heard me preach. I don't know how long they've been coming here, so if they don't come back after tonight, you will understand. But we're happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And actually, I owe a brother here. I really ought to just go tag, you're it, Brother Attila. Man, take you to Romania and preach you. 21 days, I think I preached 39 times. I think it's his turn tonight, Brother Caleb. But the duty falls to me. Appreciate Brother Nathan allowing me to come and bring a thought tonight. And I'm sorry. Y'all are dismissed. I tell you what, this young man right here. Amen. What else do you do? He plays the piano and, you know, he plays the cello and, I don't know, sisters, I'd be, you know. Might be some potential there. Made him blush. Aren't you happy to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
No place I'd rather be than right here.
Amen.
Serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope you didn't come to hear me preach tonight. I hope you come because Jesus is here.
Amen.
And He has something on His heart that He wants to deliver to us. And He's going to use my lips if I can just get myself out of the way. So good to be here tonight. And I just appreciate what I see God doing in our assembly here and in our midst. And the neat thing about it is there's no man that can take credit and say it's because I did this or because I did that. Amen. We just have to stand back and look at it and say, wow, amen, look what Jesus did.
Yes.
Reminds me of last year up at camp, year before last, that young man, Brother Joshua, from the Baltimore area, come bursting through the door that night. Brother Hoover, can I tell you what Jesus did for me? Look what Jesus did. I don't know where everybody was whenever he touched your life, but I'm so glad that he brought us together and set us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, I better get started because I told Sister Jeannie last night I had about 5 hours worth of notes. So hopefully today I cut out some of it. But if you would stand as we read, we're just going to read one scripture to begin with. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the letter from Jude, the epistle of Jude. Just before we read this, let's go to him and talk to him. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, Lord. We've worshiped you. We've sang the songs, Lord. We've talked about you. And Lord Jesus, we're nothing if you don't show up. Lord, I sense your presence is here. So I'm just going to step out of the way. I'm going to ask the Lord that you would take over these human lips, these human hands. And Lord, you would speak to your people tonight. For Lord, that's what we came for. We're in love with you. And Lord, just as it was when we fell in love with our wife, Lord, just to hear you speak to us, it's just something just to spend time with you, Lord. So we're here tonight, Lord, because we love you and we want you to know how much we love you. And we want to hear again how much you love us. Just ask that you would take over the preacher, take over those that sit in the pews. And Lord, may we just have a time together in the Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jude, the third verse. He writes and he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." You may be seated, and may the Lord add his blessings to the word, and may I shed this jacket for a moment. All right. So we're happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. I'm not going to give you the title right now because I don't want to give away what all that I have to say. And if I give you the title, then, you know, we could just dismiss and go home. But I want to have a little bit of suspense and lead you up to something so that you'll understand what it is that the Lord laid upon my heart. So Jude says here, to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So I just want to do a little exercise here to kind of get you to understand what direction we're headed. If you have a piece of paper and a pencil, I'm going to pick on three people tonight. I think the third one is here. She might not be in the sanctuary. But is Sister Jennifer here tonight, Brother Steve? Okay. Well, when she's able to come back in the sanctuary, we'll get her. Sister Lori, I'm going to start with you, and then we're going to use Brother Sam. You don't have to come up here, Sister. Relax. It's going to be all right. I would like Sister Jennifer, Sister Lori, and Brother Sam on a piece of paper, if they've got one. Somebody, if they don't have one, somebody loan them one. I want you to write down, and all of you can do this, but I'm going to have them say theirs out loud, okay? I want you to write down the Bible character that if you could, you would like to have the same faith like they had. Okay? Just take a moment and write that down. And Sister Lori's going to share hers in a moment. And then Sister Jennifer will when she comes back in. And Brother Sam will. I'm going to give you, are you ready? Okay. So Sister Lori's ready. Sister Lori, hold on. We want everybody. Yeah, why don't you do that for me? Thank you, brother. So Sister Lori, tell us, out of all the Bible characters that you could think of, which one you'd like to have faith like them?
David.
David. Okay. That's David in the Old Testament.
Yes. As opposed to...
Just didn't want there to be any confusion on that. Sister Jennifer? Have you had time to think? Okay, I'm sorry. Brother Sam, you get to go first. Did you hear what I said about you, sister? Okay.
Brother Enoch.
Okay. Are you ready now?
I had down Enoch, but so I will say no. I'll say Shamgar.
All right. Thank you. Everybody knows who David is, right? Everybody knows the faith of David. All right. Everybody knows who Enoch is, right? Everybody knows about his faith. And everybody knows who Shamgar is. All right. Good. Now we can preach. So, I don't know whose yours was. Okay? Actually, when I was thinking about this last night, I couldn't get Rahab out of my mind. Okay? So, we're talking about faith tonight. And the first thing we need to find out is, how do we receive faith? How did you get faith? If you have faith, how did it come to you? Well, it's very simple. Remember, Brother Branham said, if there's a Bible question, there's a Bible answer. Okay? So let's go to the Bible. Let's turn to Romans, the 10th chapter. And I'm going to read quite a few scriptures, but I want to concentrate on the 17th verse, but we're going to read some before we get there. In the 13th verse, it reads like this: "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Amen. Now let's go to the 17th verse. And Paul sums it up, and he says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So faith comes by hearing. It's because that you came in contact at some point in your life with the word of God. A person that never comes in contact with the word of God cannot have faith. Because you can't have faith until you've heard the word of God. Amen. The Bible says, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the Bible says in Hebrews the 11th chapter that he that cometh to God must first believe that he is God. Right. How can you believe on somebody, Paul says, of whom you've not even heard? Right. And how can you hear except someone comes and preaches? And how can they preach except they be sent? So your faith came to you wherever you were at, whatever you were doing. You can say all that you want to about, I was raised in church from the time I was a child. You can say I was a heathen. I didn't know anything about God. But one day, light struck your path. And when that light struck your path, something sparked down on the inside. Yes. Just like it did for the woman at the well. Just like it did for David. Yes. Now, David was probably taught from a time that he was a youth up. But just as you have to, no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, just as you have to have a born-again experience, you have to have a time and a place. Right. I said you have to have a time and you have to have a place where you know that you and God had a meeting. Yeah. I was traveling with Brother Attila over in Romania one time, and I asked a pastor of a church. It's a question I ask quite often because I love to hear people's testimonies. I love to hear where you was, what was going on when Jesus got a hold of your life and changed you. And I asked this brother, I said, how did you receive the Holy Ghost? He said, well, I've just always had it. It just didn't sound right, Brother Nathan. It
rub my fur the wrong way, as my father-in-law used to say. It just didn't sound right, so I kept digging. I wasn't trying to embarrass the man, but I wanted to know. He said, I've always been in the message. My dad was a pastor. I became a pastor. Listen, I don't care who you are, what your last name is, how much you've been raised up in this message, how many tapes you've listened to. I could go someplace right there. I'm going to stop. I don't want it to be Brother Hoover's ideas. Listen, no matter what your background is, what your history is, if you don't have a time and a place where you can say, there's where I met God and my life changed, I was going one direction and I started going the other direction, then you haven't had that experience that you need. And I would challenge you that you don't have faith yet. You say, Brother David, that's pretty bold. I'm just telling you. Look, David was raised up from the time he was just young. And he heard about God. He was shepherding his daddy's sheep. And he'd play the harp. And he would sing psalms and everything like that. But David still had to come to a time and a place where he realized, this Jehovah God that I serve is more than just a figment of my imagination. It's more than just a Sunday school lesson that the teacher taught me. It's more than just something that I learned sitting on daddy's knees. But I met him and I know him for myself. Amen. And he changed my life. This is not at all the path I thought I was going when I started this message, but this is for somebody. Listen, you've got to have an experience with Jesus Christ. God does not care. He did care enough that he put me in a Christian home, and I was brought up in a Christian home. But it didn't matter to God what my daddy's name was, how much my daddy could preach, who my mom was, how many Sunday school lessons she'd ever taught. None of that mattered until one day, January the 6th, 1985, I came face to face with Jesus Christ. I had a personal talk with him, and he changed my life. Amen. And that's what I'm doing up here tonight, is to impress upon you the fact that you have to have that same thing. Amen. Amen? Yes. That's how you receive faith. Think about your life before that, if you've had that experience. Think about your life before that, and think about the difference afterwards. What a change it was. Oh, I made a decision one day, Brother David. That's good Baptist doctrine, but that's not message doctrine. That's not Bible doctrine. You can't just make a decision and all of a sudden decide, I'm going to be a Christian. You can't do it. If you could do that, why is there a blood flowing from Calvary tonight? There had to be a time when somebody came and knocked on your heart's door. He might have been a good boy growing up. I don't know. All right? He might have been a wonderful young man. He might have worked in the church and done all kinds of things. But there still came a time and a place that God come and knocked on his door and said, Bill Layton, let's have a talk. I want to impart faith into your heart. I want to give you faith. Why do you need faith? Because you can't make it through Laodicea without having faith. You can't make it on just good teaching. You can't make it just on book learning. You can't make it just on associating with the right people and being around the right crowd. It's good to have fellowship. I love the fellowship that we have. But you can't do that and make it to heaven. I don't know why. Folks, I can't say it any plainer. I can't say it any more emphatic. But you've got to have an experience. And if you haven't had an experience with Jesus Christ, there's an altar open. Anytime that I'm preaching, you come to this altar. But don't walk out those doors tonight without an experience with Jesus Christ. All right, let me see if I can get back on track. Well, forgive me, Lord. I wasn't off track. I was following you. So let's get back to faith for a moment. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Before we go there, I want to read you a couple things here. You asked me, what is faith? What is faith? Well, I'm so glad that God sent a prophet that fulfilled Malachi 4:5. I'm so glad that I came across the message preached by William Marion Branham one day, Brother Jerry. I am so glad, because no one in Pentecost, no one in any denomination, no one that I ever knew anything about that they called themselves Christians and leaders, no one ever told me this. But I heard it one day, and I'm just going to read you some places that Brother Branham said this. On the Anointed Ones at the end time, Brother Branham said, what is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you. That is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. So by revelation. He goes on to say in the invisible union of the bride of Christ, and the revelation is the only thing, the revelation of the word. What is a revelation? Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Faith is a revelation, because faith has been revealed to you. Abel by faith, offered by revelation. Faith offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Now let me just back up for a moment and go back to where he's talking about faith is a revelation. What? A revelation of the word. And then he breaks into where Jesus was having the conversation with his disciples one day, and he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say Jeremiah, some say Isaiah, some say you're this prophet, that prophet. And then he turned to Peter and he said, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter spoke those words, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Peter, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And upon this rock I will build my church. 27 years I spent in Pentecostal denominational upbringing. My dad was not part of a denomination, but we associated around the denomination. And for 27 years, no one ever told me that that was a revelation of who Jesus Christ was that God built his church upon. We thought it was built upon Jesus Christ himself. But the first time I heard Brother Branham say that, I'm like, that makes perfect sense. How come all those other preachers never said that? Well, they couldn't say that because they weren't a prophet, and it takes a prophet to be the divine interpreter of the word. All right? So he brought it to us that it was revelation. And from that point forward, that's been so wonderful to me to know that only Jesus Christ can give you revelation, but you must have revelation from Jesus Christ to be able to live an overcoming life. So then he goes into Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and if you'll turn there with me. Hebrews 11, everybody knows this chapter. It's called the faith chapter. But I'm just going to do something. Brother Branham did it in that quote that I just read to you. I'm just going to take what he did with that one verse about Abel, and I'm just going to read Hebrews to you, maybe a different way than you've ever read Hebrews. All right? Now, revelation is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, revelation, by revelation the elders obtained a good report. Through revelation we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By revelation Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now let me just stop for a moment and just preach for a little while. Cain and Abel grew up in the same household. All right? Taught at the same Sunday school table that everybody else was, that both of them was taught at. This is important. Listen to this. Cain and Abel heard the same Sunday school teaching, watched Adam and Eve do the same things every day, and Abel sitting there, and Abel looks at his dad one day and he says, Daddy, can I ask you a question? He said, sure, son, ask me anything. He said, what's with the bloody sheepskin all the time?
Right.
Adam said, son, Don't you remember the testimony of how we lost the estate in the Garden of Eden? Don't you remember the testimony that your mom and I, we put fig leaves together because we thought we could do something and make ourselves look okay in the sight of God? But God come down and took our fig leaf religion and just shoved it to the side and said, let me show you something, Adam. Let me show you something. He gave us a promise that the seed of the woman was going to bruise the head of the serpent. And then he killed a lamb. And he said, as I sat there on that rock, in my nakedness, in my sins, in my wrongdoing, I watched that lamb die. And he took that lambskin and he put it upon me and your mom. And I understood by the example that Jehovah set that an innocent had to die for the guilty. I understood that there had to be a life slain. I understood that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Now Cain sitting right next to Abel, listening to the same answer that Abel's getting to the question that Abel asked. But Cain cannot understand, what does a bloody sheepskin have to do with anything? He couldn't understand it. And if you tonight are sitting here under the sound of my voice and you understand, thank God somebody, an innocent one, died in my place. Amen. Do you not realize not everybody understands that? Not everybody gets that concept. It was by revelation. Cain said, well, Jehovah God made us go till the ground, so I'll bring fruits of the tilling of the ground. Surely he'll be pleased with it. Brother Branham even tells us how it happened. He says, there was Cain at the same altar that Abel was. They both came to the same altar to worship. Cain brings and arranges his fruits just, you know, in a certain manner. And he's thinking, surely God will be pleased. Jehovah will be pleased with the way that I've arranged the fruit. And he looks around. And here comes Abel. With his arm around that sheep, around that lamb, and he comes dragging him up to the altar. And he gets him a rock, and he puts that sheep down on that rock, and he begins to take and he begins to strike at that throat on that sheep. And Cain looks over and goes, some fanatic he is.
Right.
How in the world did he get that out of what Daddy taught us?
Think about it.
But for Abel, it was a revelation. God had opened up to him one day. That it takes the blood of an innocent one. Don't you approach God with your works, with your ideas, with your concepts of what you think is right or what is wrong. You can only come and stand in the presence of Jehovah God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You better pray for me, brother. It's either going to take two or three. I have to do a series on it, or it's going to take us a while to get done. I don't know. You pray for me.
That's okay. Stay as long as you want, brother. The rest of us are going home in an hour.
If the word don't hold you. And don't go Pentecostal on me and say, well, the pastor said it was okay, so I can do it. Lord bless you. So we know how we receive faith. We know what faith is. Faith is a revelation. Let's go on. Brother Branham says, in works is faith expressed in 1965. Now faith is a revelation from God. Now faith is a revelation. There's where I want to stay there just a moment. It's a revelation. He has revealed it to you by His grace.
Amen.
It's nothing you did. You didn't work yourself up into faith. You ever have faith, it's given to you by the grace of God, and God reveals it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation. And the whole church of God is built upon the revelation.
Yes.
Amen.
It's nothing you did. You didn't work yourself up into it. If you ever have faith, it's given to you by the grace of God.
Amen.
And God reveals it to you, therefore, faith is a revelation.
Yes.
Where would you be? Just stop and think for a moment. Where would you be tonight if God hadn't brought revelation into your life?
Right.
I guess I'd have been in some Pentecostal church pew, or worse than that, I would have been out serving the devil, Brother Jerry. Where would I be? In the rapture message, Brother Branham says, but to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. Boy, I'd never come through a Pentecostal preacher's lips. It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that has been revealed to you, like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. So what has God revealed to us in this day and age? Anything contrary to it isn't so. Brother David, you don't understand. No, I might not understand your reasoning and your logic, but I do understand what's been revealed to me by the Word of God. I do understand that. I do understand that day when I sat in a little church in Muncie, Indiana, and the Holy Spirit come down and the preacher began to preach. And I don't know that he ever said these exact words, but he was talking about the Lamb's Book of Life, and he was talking about how that your name was written there before the foundation of the earth. And he brought out a quote. I couldn't find it to bring to you tonight, but Brother Branham said, you have to know that your name was written there before the foundations of the earth. I never got to go see the Lamb's Book of Life. I never got to see and read my name there. But I remember the night that the Holy Spirit came down and said, I put your name on there. You're mine. And I come to get you. I come to save you. I've sought after you. I've chased you from church to church to church. I've seen all the things that you've done as a preacher's kid growing up. I've seen it. I've watched it. But that doesn't matter. None of that matters. Because I put your name on that book. And I come to claim you. And you're mine. Glory! Do you know that your name is written there? You can know it before you leave this building tonight. So now we know what faith is. Faith is a revelation. Let's go on in Hebrews a little bit. By revelation, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without revelation, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By revelation, Noah. You remember what Brother Jack preached about Noah just the other day? I'm not going to re-preach it. But they came to him and they said, Noah, are you sure? You know, your idea is a little far-fetched. Noah said, it's going to rain. We can prove to you that there's no moisture up there, Noah. Are you really, 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 really sure? It's going to rain. Why? Because he had a revelation, faith. He'd heard from God. And when you hear from God, whether it's through that man's lips, my lips, any other minister's lips, whether it's when you hit the play button on your MP3, when you hear from God, when something's revealed to you, there's not enough devils in hell that can talk you out of it.
Amen.
And when God took a prophet and preached one time and said, what about the Philippian jailer's house? Paul went down there. They cast him in prison, Brother Layton. And the jailer put him in the stocks and the bonds. And so they did what any real believer would do. They did what you would do if you was in that situation. I can say with confidence, anyone here that has the Holy Ghost in them, if they got thrown in the Floyd County Jail tonight, I could go down there and say, hey, I want to get in. I want to see Bill Layton. The only reason he would be there was because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that much. So he's in jail. I go down there, and when I turn the corner, I'm following the jailer down to his jail cell, and when I turn the corner, I can hear him singing the praises of God.
Amen.
Why? Because that's what Holy Ghost-filled believers do when they get thrown in jail. Again, I'm getting ahead of myself, but there's only one Holy Ghost. He don't act one way in Caleb and a different way in me and a different way in Brother Layton and a different way in Brother Jerry. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's why Brother Branham had to take as his theme, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did on the shores of Galilee, he'll do in Jeffersonville. What he did in Jeffersonville in the 1950s and the 1960s, he will do in New Albany in 2019.
Amen.
You say, prove it, Brother Hoover. I don't have to prove it. It's his word. He'll come and prove it if you'll just open up your heart.
Amen.
It wasn't Brother Branham that proved anything. It was Brother Branham who got out of the way and Jesus Christ came on the scene and proved it in service after service after service after service. So anyway, faith is a revelation. We could go through the whole chapter. But just think about this. By revelation, Enoch took a walk one day. It was by revelation. He didn't suppose it, Brother Furman. He didn't work himself up one afternoon. It wasn't because of some food that he ate. It wasn't because of some talk that he and the wife had had. But one day he was sitting there and the Lord said, Enoch, walk with me. And he took off walking. Now it must have been some walk that they had together.
Amen.
Wouldn't you like to take that walk?
Yes.
I'm going to one of these days.
Amen.
They're walking along. Brother Branham says, God looks over at Enoch and he says, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are to yours. Just come on home with me.
Yes.
And Enoch didn't sit there and go, no, wait a minute. I've got a really good church down there on Silver Street that I really, you know, I'm a deacon and they need me. And he didn't even think about Sister Enoch's cooking.
Right.
And the one that really surprised me is he didn't even consider Titus or Molly. Lord, I really want to go to heaven. But man, I haven't got to spend enough time with Titus and Molly yet. No, Enoch didn't think any of those things. You know what he said? Let's go, Lord. I'm with you. You lead the way. By revelation, he did that. Abraham heard the voice of God one day.
Oh, yes.
Brother Branham said he was just a common, ordinary farmer. And he's sitting, he's worked all day, he comes home, and Sarah has some food ready for him, and he's sitting there, and he's thinking about how beautiful that the crops are doing and all these other things. And he says, wonder why I'm so blessed, wonder why this is happening to me, and Mr. So-and-so across the road, or Mr. So-and-so down the road, or Mr. So-and-so on the other side of town, those things aren't happening. And God says, Abraham, you're mine.
Yes.
You were mine before I ever created that world that you're out there tilling and working in and everything. He said, why don't you just get up, leave your family, leave everything behind, and I'm going to show you a city. And Abraham stands up.
Yes.
I'll prove to you in a moment that that was faith. Faith made Abraham get up on his feet.
Amen.
Now imagine his relatives when he went and explained to them. Abraham, you know, it was in the 90s the other day whenever you say that you heard this voice. So maybe it was the heat. I mean, his mom, his dad, his brothers, his sisters, he left it all behind. Everybody but Lot. He left it all behind. And he gets up, and his wife follows him. Now, some of you understand what a miracle that is. She goes with him. Now, the Bible doesn't say if she went kicking and screaming, or if she went gladly, or if after a while he wore her down. So I just have to take what the Bible says and believe that she packed up everything and said, look, I'm following him. I said, I do, and I will. And so they take off by revelation, by faith. Now look, you all might be really, really spiritual, but I'm just trying to see how that played out, Sister Rebecca. Okay, Abraham, you say we're going looking for a city. You say God said he was going to bless us, he was going to make us a blessing. You said we're going to have a family that you're not even going to be able to count the stars by the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore. Okay, I'm in. Brother Branham said they'd had a little bit of a disagreement that morning. The devil tried to interfere with the visitation that was getting ready to happen. So I read that. I read what the prophet says, and I realize, you know, it probably wasn't just peaches and cream. But by revelation, he got up, took his wife, took his nephew, took his nephew's family, and they took off. Just on revelation, Brother Darrell. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of faith? Amen. Just buckle your seatbelts. So, faith is a revelation. A revelation of what? Well, let's go back. What was the original promise in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve are there. And God comes down when he makes them sheepskin coats. And he says, thy seed, her seed, will bruise the head of thy seed. And Adam caught something whenever those words were said. The same way that you catch things whenever you're sitting there listening to the voice of the prophet or the voice of your pastor that's anointed with the Holy Ghost, and he says something, and 55 other people in the church goes right over their head, but it lodges in your heart. And the next morning you can't get it out of your heart, and the next day you can't get it out of your heart, and it literally changes your life because you realize that was not Brother Nathan that said that. That was not Brother Branham that said that. That was God himself speaking to my situation, to my place that I'm living, and it changed you, and it gave you faith because God revealed that I know about your situation. I know so much about your situation in 2019 that in 1963, in 1958, I told a prophet what to say on a tape so that you could play it and it would speak to your very situation. I know about your situation so much that I can wake this man up at 3 o'clock in the morning and put him down on his knees beside his bed. And I can begin to speak to him and tell him to put notes down on a piece of paper so that whenever he gets in the pulpit Wednesday night or whenever he gets in the pulpit on Sunday morning, he begins to speak. And all of a sudden you realize, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I know Nathan Bryant. I watched Nathan Bryant grow up. I know all about that guy. And he can't do what he just did. What is it? It's faith. God casting out seeds of faith into your heart and giving you a revelation. This is more than just about a man. This is more than just about a bunch of books and tapes. But this is me speaking to my bride in 2019, and I'm getting her ready because she's going to take a body change. I'm talking about faith. So, Adam sees God. Let me get back to that conversation. Adam sees God kill a lamb and realizes, I can just picture him looking over at Eve and going, you know we should be dead right now. You realize we're the ones did wrong. God didn't do wrong. We did wrong. We did what he forbid us to do, and he said that whenever we did that, we would die. I understand the serpent talked to you and told you that you would not die. And look, we're still here. But something, we're the guilty party, Eve, and something innocent's dying in our place. And so he passes that down to Seth after Abel's killed. Seth passes it to his son. So by the time that God speaks to Noah and reveals to him it's going to rain and you need to build an ark for the saving of your household, he doesn't have any problem understanding that there's going to be a seed of the woman who is going to come and bruise the serpent's head, and it's going to come through our lineage. Now just bear with me. So by the time that Abraham is in the Ur of the Chaldees, and he hears the voice of God saying, get up, get out of this land. I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. The person that blesses you, I'll bless. The person that curses you, I'll curse. And I will make of thee a great nation. He understands God's got to have a conduit. God's got to have a pipeline. God's got to have a human instrumentality. Thank you. God's got to have a human instrumentality that he can work through, because God's prophet in our day said God always works through human instrumentality. And since he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he worked through human instrumentality in the garden. He worked through human instrumentality in Noah's day. He worked through human instrumentality in Abraham's day. He worked through human instrumentality in David's day. I was telling somebody the other day, Folks, just pray for me right now, because I'm like, where are you going, Lord? I was sharing with somebody the other day about David. David gets up that morning. Think about this. David gets up that morning and takes off down to, it's a Nazarene church. That's who I was sharing it with. David gets up that morning and starts down. All he's going to do that day is do what Daddy said. He's just going to obey what the Father said. And he heads down to the battlefield. He's just hoping that he can get sight of one of the chariots. Because since he was a little kid, he's always liked, you know, the tanks and the bazookas and the airplanes and all that kind of stuff. He's always been attracted to that. And so he's just hoping that he can get a glimpse of a real soldier. But meanwhile, in glory, God's called over Gabriel, or Michael. We'll use Michael. He's called over Michael. He says, Michael, you're pretty good in battle, but I want you to watch this guy this morning. He don't know what he's getting ready to do, but I'm getting ready to use him.
Amen.
And by revelation, because of the promise that God made in the garden, that there's going to come one. Because Abraham passed down through the lineage the story of him and Isaac on Mount Moriah. And it was added to the canon of the scripture for the Hebrew children that God will provide himself a lamb. And that everybody that believes what Father Abraham believed will circumcise their male child. And Brother Branham says he walks down through there. He's walking down through there and he realizes, I'm circumcised. He's not. And upon that revelation that I've obeyed the voice of Jehovah and I have been circumcised, and that puts me in a certain standing, a different standing than anybody else that will ever come on this battlefield, especially those Philistines. He walks out there and looks over at Saul, whose knees are knocking in his boots, and he says, Saul, I'll go. And Saul said, you can't compete with this guy. Saul, without revelation, Saul sitting on the throne with no revelation, says, you can't compete with this guy. And David, with revelation, says, let me go. Just let me loose. Let's see what God can do.
That's right.
Why? because he knew that God had made a promise. And therefore, a circumcised seed of Abraham had more power, had more authority, had more Jehovah in their life than 10,000 uncircumcised Philistines. So he goes down there, and we all know the outcome of the battle. David won. David won. Amen. That would be like Crawford County beating us in football. It's not supposed to happen. All right? But David won. Why? By revelation. Not by his might, not by his power, not by his strength, not by anything David did. But by revelation. I can just see David walking down through there, and he hears the voice of Jehovah whisper in his ear, David, you remember that time that the lion came up, got a hold of one of daddy's sheep? Yeah, I remember that. I didn't have nothing to do with that, God. You supernaturally gave me that sheep. I still don't know how I killed him. David, you remember that bear that time? Yes, Lord, I remember the bear. I surely remember the bear. I was scared, Lord. But something come on me. And I whipped that bear. Hey, David, let me have the battle. Just let me have the battle, David. And so David, the same thing he did with the lion, same thing he did with the bear, same thing he did with Goliath, he let God have it. And God said, now stop and get 5 smooth stones and use that sling that you've been out there practicing with, wanting to show Eliab how good you are. Use that, David. See, he prepared him before David was prepared. He might not have thought he was prepared, but he was prepared. And by revelation, I'm a son of Jehovah. I'm Jehovah's offspring. Yes. That's what was in his heart. That was his revelation. And so he walks out there and he beats Goliath. Oh my. Lord help us. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Can I preach a little bit longer? Oh glory. So, here's the point I'm trying to get to. I'm going to have to go ahead and give you the punchline. I'll probably lose about half of you. Because y'all will figure it out and say, oh, I've known that all along. Well, then I'll play Gideon on you and say, if you've known that all along, then where are the miracles? I'm preaching to the preacher at the same time I'm preaching to you all, okay? So anyway, so how does faith behave itself? That's the next thing we have to get to. Faith doesn't walk around bragging,
right,
pointing to itself. Faith never walked on a platform in Portland, Oregon and said, bring me your maniacs. Let me show you who's God. But when the maniacs showed up, God was there. And God said, I can handle this. William Branham, just step over out of the way for a minute. Just yield your lips. Yield your tongue. I got this. But faith does act with assurance.
Yes.
Brother Branham says in a message, The Calling of Abraham, 1955. And instead of getting weak like you do and like I do, the prophet's admitting he gets weak. Can't you see the board that was sponsoring the meetings? Brother Branham, don't ever say that again. The people have a lot of confidence in you. Don't you talk about being weak. But he said it. He said, and instead of getting weak like you do and I do, if God don't answer right in a minute, well, I failed to get it. I'm just saying what he said, folks. I ain't after nobody. I'm struggling with the same thing you're struggling with when I read this quote. Like I tell Brother Nathan, How come you had to leave all 99 other people in the congregation alone tonight and just come down and preach to me at my seat? Uh-huh. Brother Branham, how come you had to call me out? He said, just because you don't get it, God don't answer right in a minute. Well, I failed to get it. But Abraham got stronger all the time, knowing that longer it lasted before the baby was born, greater miracle it was going to be. And if you are the children of Abraham, you got the same kind of faith. Brother David, you don't mean that. Oh, yes, I do, because it's the prophet's word. It's not mine, and it's not even Brother Branham's words. It's the word of God. He told the prophet to say it. Now it's up to God to back it up. But guess what? Some of you, it just dawned on you, you got 25-year faith. And if you are the children of Abraham, you got the same kind of faith. Hallelujah. Don't get scared of that. Hallelujah means praise our God. Notice, Abraham got stronger as the days went on. He got stronger believing him and Sarah. Wait a minute, Brother Branham. I remember Sarah saying, won't you take Hagar and see if you can bring this to pass? It's not what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said Abraham and Sarah got stronger. No, Brother David. She laughed. Remember, she laughed within herself in the tent, and God called her out. Elohim, Jehovah, Jireh called her out. No. It's a whole other message. I'm not going to preach it tonight. But listen, Abraham and Sarah. Isaac and Rebekah. They all, look, you can read Genesis and you can read negative, 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 negative. You can read that all through the Old Testament. He preached a whole series on flawed characters. Negative, negative, negative. Until it happened on Calvary. And Calvary is a plus sign. And after Calvary, there is no negative recorded about Abraham. After Calvary, there is no negative recorded about Sarah. After Calvary, there is nothing recorded negative about this bride. I don't care what you was when you came to Calvary. I don't care how negative it was. I don't care how low down the devil had you convinced that you was and how your sin could not be forgiven. When you came in contact with Calvary, your life became positive from that moment forward. And don't you let the devil take you back and tell you you're negative again. Now, if God called Abraham and Abraham had that kind of faith because God called him, catch that. Now, if God called Abraham and Abraham had that kind of faith because God called him. If God called Caleb and Caleb had that kind of faith because God called him. If God called Furman and Furman had that kind of faith because God called him. Abraham's children has the same kind of faith. Yes. Abraham's children has the same kind of faith. Now the only reason, listen to this, he's going to tell you something and it's going to take you completely out of the equation. He says, now the only reason that Abraham had that faith is because God seen that he was Jerry Bryant's son. That is not what the prophet said. And that's nowhere in the scripture. I appreciate Brother Jerry. I love him. He's a precious brother. But God didn't call Nathan because of anything Jerry did. If he did, he died in vain on Calvary. He says, now the only reason that Abraham had that faith is because God seen the quality in him and called him and talk to him face to face. What quality did he see in David Hoover? It wasn't because of my lineage. It wasn't because of my bank account. It wasn't because of my address. It wasn't because of anything I did. God looked down and he said, I put a seed in that boy before the foundations of the earth, and there's not one of my seed that's going to be lost. I'm going after him. I don't care how far into hell he goes. I don't care how far into sin he goes. He's mine, and I'm going after him. And he called him and he talked to him face to face. And every person that's elected by God comes in and gets the faith of Abraham when they have a talk face to face with God. Now you know why I said you got to have a time and a place where you had an experience and you met Jesus Christ for yourself. You can't rely on mommy's experience. You can't rely on what daddy's always done. You can't rely on whether it's a deacon or a trustee that heads up your family. It can't be any of that. It's because you had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, what is Abraham's seed? Let's find out just a minute. Now, Abraham's seed was Isaac. Isaac, through Isaac come Christ. The Bible said, we, being dead in Christ, take on Abraham's seed and are heirs according to the promise. What was the promise? You say that there was going to be a child that was going to be born. Yes, that's part of the promise. But what was the real promise? The promise was, thy seed will bruise his head. There's coming a sacrifice. That's why Mount Moriah meant so much to Abraham, because God confirmed his promise. Abraham, you don't have to worry about offering up Isaac. I've got a lamb already prepared. Amen. We being dead in Christ take on Abraham's seed and are heirs according to the promise. The same promise he gave Abraham is the promise that he gives us. If we be dead in Christ, we take on Abraham's seed and are heirs according to the same promise. And then the same faith that was in Abraham dwells in his children, those who call those things which are not as though they were. I hope that your heart's prepared for what's getting ready to happen here. Just lost my place. Give me just a second. We take on Abraham's seed and are heirs according to the same promise. And then the same faith that was in Abraham dwells in his children, who call those things that were not as though they were, because I attend Church of the Open Door, because I listen to books and tapes of a prophet. No. Why are we seeds of the? Why are we heirs of the same promise? We're heirs of the same promise, Brother Branham said, because God said so.
Yes.
You say, it can't be that simple, brother. It is that simple. Yes. We make it complicated. Yes. Brother, if I could just see you get that kind of faith tonight, there wouldn't be a feeble person among us in the next 5 minutes. Abraham called those things which were not as though they were, because God said so. How do you know, Abraham? God said so. Why, it's against all nature. I'm sorry. How can you prove it? God said so. Why, it's against all nature. But God said so. The doctor says you can't get well. But God said so. See? Say, you'll never walk again. But God said so. Read your situation into those, that quote right there. You might not be in a hospital room. Our sister Patty is. But God said so. So she's not staying there. The doctor might say, it's a curse of death. No one ever gets back from it. No one ever recovers from it. But God said so. But you don't know the pain that I've got in my body. But God said so. You don't know what that other church did. But God said so. You don't know what my brother, what my sister, what my mom, what my dad. You don't know what they did to me, what they said about me. You don't know what I've been through, Brother Hoover. But God said so.
Amen.
Amen. Mayo's told me I had 3 minutes to live. But God said I was going to live a long time. Here I am.
All right.
That's what he said. That's what Brother Branham said. Mayo told me I had 3 minutes to live. But God said so. Here I am. What did God say about you? What did God say about you? God did not say, well, they're going to make it to 2019 and then Laodicea is going to be so dark and they're just going to cave into the pressure. That's nowhere in the Word of God. It's not in there. I looked it up. It ain't in there. You know what's in there? I will have a bride without spot or wrinkle. Brother Branham stood out there at Youngstown Center, saw the vision of the bride, come to the pulpit and preached. And he said, I'm so happy that I saw there will be a bride. Amen. You know what that means? That means if every person in this place walks out those doors and says there's nothing to this message anymore, but Sister Layton stands here and says, God said I was bride. Yes. You know what? There will be a bride. And I'm, you have to forgive me for saying it this way. I don't mean to be sacrilegious. But I'm just jealous enough and envious enough. I ain't going to let her be the only one.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I ain't going to let, you all be the only one to make it. Because I'm convinced, like the little sister was out there in Tulsa that time. So-and-so got the Holy Ghost in the morning service. They was going to have an afternoon service. And she confessed this. She even told her brother-in-law this. Her brother-in-law got the Holy Ghost in Tulsa, Oklahoma in a meeting, in the morning meeting. That afternoon they had another meeting. You know what she did? Presence of God come down. She says, Lord, if you'd give Jeff the Holy Ghost, I know you'll give it to me. Lord, if you'll save David Hoover, I know I ain't near as rotten as David Hoover was. I know I ain't near as bad a person as David Hoover was. If David Hoover can be filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord, where's mine? But here I am. I was practically blind and my sight never would come to me. They said my sight never would come to me again. But here I am. God said so. Yes. Let me wrap this up if I can. This just blesses me. Identified Christ of all ages. That one little woman now brought strength from him. He looked around in the audience and said he found where she was. And he told her her trouble and what had happened. The Bible said now that he is now a high priest. Think about that. He's now a high priest. He's not going to be the high priest. He not was the high priest. He is now the high priest of your confession. He is a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of your infirmities. Is that right? Now, if you have that same faith in that same Jesus, it'll do the same thing for you. Let's turn to Ephesians very quickly. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And then I'll give you my title. The whole reason I've been preaching this. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting with the fourth verse. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So, no one under the sound of my voice, if I ask you, if I said, look, I want to challenge you on the idea that there's only one Lord. I want to introduce to you that there's two Lords or that there's three Lords. Anybody here want to go with me on that? You'd accept that? You'd agree with that? You mean you're convinced that there's only one Lord?
Amen.
My. And there's only one baptism?
Amen.
I'm going to check you on that one. What is that one baptism? For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important that you get that. You have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit or you're not in the body of Christ. I don't care how many times we dunk you in this or take you down in this water back here and baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because man can baptize you all that he wants to. But God will not baptize anyone that he's not approved of their life and that they're truly repented and that they're truly ready for his service by putting his Holy Spirit in them. So then let me ask you a question. Why would you let Satan... You won't compromise on one Lord. You won't compromise on one baptism. Why would you let Satan feed you a lie that there is a faith for the Laodicean church and there was a different faith for the Ephesian church and there was a different type of faith that Abraham had and there was a different type of faith that Job had? There's only one faith, folks. You know why I know that? Because the prophet said so, first of all. Secondly, because faith is a revelation. And God's not going to reveal one thing to Sister Lori and reveal something different to me. There's only one revelation. And that revelation is that it's all in Him. That Jesus Christ is the supreme sacrifice for all the sins of the world. And there's only one body of Jesus Christ. And it's not these four walls right here. And we don't need to go out there and put on a sign. This is the church. This is the one and only true church. We don't do that. You know why? Because we realize we're not it. We're part of it, but we're not it. But Sister Lori, sitting in her pew with all the battles that Satan gives her, I can say with absolute assurance tonight, Sister Lori has the faith of David. I can say with absolute assurance tonight that Sister Jennifer has the faith of Shamgar. I can say with absolute assurance that Brother Sam has the faith of Enoch. Amen. Why? Because there's only one faith. Amen. You say, Brother David, that's pretty simple. It is pretty simple. But how many times have you let Satan give you a bill of goods? Well, you know, you're not like Abraham.
All right.
You're not like Shamgar. You're not like Brother Branham. You're not like this or that or the other. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you got the same Holy Ghost that led Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you got the same Holy Ghost that overshadowed David going down on that battlefield that morning. There's not 15 different faiths, folks. Now, Brother Branham does say that some people have stronger faith because they exercised it. Okay? There's some of these young men, me being 61, them being in the prime of their youth, I do not want to arm wrestle them. You know why? Because they've exercised their arms more. So why don't you get up from where you're sitting, I'm talking spiritually, why don't you get up out of the pity party that Satan's trying to get you to have, and why don't you just stand up and say, Satan, no more. Not here, not ever. Because I got faith like Abraham had. A brother sent me this quote. I'm going to finish on this quote, if the Lord will let me. Now, every one of you have read this within the last month. I know, because it's from the Smyrnian church age. Make sure you tell your dad about that, okay? Every one of you has read this within the last 30 days because it's straight out of the Smyrnian church age. But you know what? The brother sent it to me on my phone and I began to rejoice like I'd never heard it before because it didn't strike me when I read it in the church age book like it did when I read it from the text on my phone. Brother Branham says, often we think that it would be almost impossible to be a martyr. Anybody here have trouble thinking that I could be a martyr? I could give my life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now think about that before you say, oh yeah, I could do that. No problem, Brother Hoover. No problem. You would have no problem with them coming to your house, grabbing you, putting you in a police car and taking you down and taking your life because you believe this message. No, I would have no problem. Okay. Often we think that it would be almost impossible to be a martyr. But dare to recall. Dare to recall that the faith we daily use to triumph in Christ Jesus is the same faith that upholds the Polycarps and all martyrs. You mean I got the faith like they did when they took them to the stake and they burned them alive and whenever they let the lions eat them? That's what he said. It's the same faith. He didn't give Ephesus one faith and give Laodicea a different faith. He gave us the same faith. He didn't give Abraham an Old Testament faith and give us a New Testament faith. Abraham was looking to the shed blood of Calvary just as much as I look back to the shed blood of Calvary. Same faith saves me that saved Abraham. So all I have to do is look in the Bible and read. How did it turn out for Abraham? Bless God Almighty, I'm in good stead because I've got the same faith Abraham had. How did it turn out for Shamgar? How did it turn out for David? How did it turn out for Rahab? Amen. Brother Branham finishes that up and he says, the supreme faith will give supreme grace for the supreme hour. Yes. Blessed be God forever. I'm just going to read it to you a little bit different here. But dare to recall that the revelation we daily use to triumph in Christ Jesus is the same revelation that upholds the Polycarps and all martyrs. The supreme revelation will give supreme grace for the supreme hour. Blessed be God forever.
Amen.
The musicians can come. I just want to finish up with Rahab real quick. And then we'll go. May I speak to you just a moment on Rahab? Where did Rahab get her revelation? Everybody agrees Rahab had faith, right? Any argument? Okay. Rahab had faith. How'd she get that faith? What did she tell the spies? She said, we have heard. Somebody come through Jericho preaching about this group of nuts, these fanatics, that thought that Palestine belonged to them and they'd been down in Egypt for 400 years. Somebody come through preaching that. And she heard and something struck her heart and she believed. Well, if he's going to give them that land, then I need to be associated with them and not with these people in Jericho. And it caused something to rise up within her that caused her, oh, Lord, I got to go here. You just forgive me if this offends you. It caused her to shut herself up in her house and not go to church anymore and not be around anybody else anymore and just shut herself in and say, I'm just going to listen to what Moses said. I'm not going to listen to anything else. No, it didn't do that. And it won't do that in you either. You know what it'll do? It'll cause you to walk up to the person at work that ridicules you the most and makes the most fun of you and say, hey, Daniel, have you heard about God sending a prophet in this day? Oh, I couldn't do that, Brother David. Then you ain't got the faith of Rahab. Because her hearing about the children of Israel coming through, she said, we've heard about how God brought you out of Egypt and all the miracles that he performed for you. And it caused her to go to all of her family. I'm sure that there's somebody sitting under the sound of my voice that's got family members like I've got. That it's just easier and it's less trouble if you just don't bring up religion or church or the Bible around them. But Rahab said, have you heard that they're coming? They've already come through the Red Sea. They've already been 40 years and their sandals hadn't wore out and their clothes hadn't wore out and they've been fed angels food every day and they've had quail and miracle after miracle after miracle and they're coming to my town. All right, well, Rahab, what's that got to do with us? What in the world do we need with a Malachi 4:5 ministry? What's that got to do with me? She goes, look, they're coming here. And I promise you, they're not coming here to have a fellowship meeting. They're coming here and Jericho is going to fall. Because every army that stood against them has fallen. Do you know Egypt? Egypt. I'm talking about the greatest civilization on the face of the earth up to that time. Egypt's army was utterly destroyed. And they didn't even have to shoot an arrow. And they didn't even have to throw a spear. And Egypt was wiped out. Their economy still hasn't recovered. I doubt if it will have recovered by 2019. Amen. And it hasn't. That's right. But that was her testimony because something was revealed to her. That's a God I want to serve. If I'm going to serve a God, I want to serve that God that the Israelites had. Amen. But she heard. How are they going to believe? How are they going to believe that you're part of the bride of Jesus Christ? If someone doesn't tell him, how are you going to tell him if he wasn't sent? You got the same faith. That's my title. The same faith. You don't have a different faith. You don't have the new and improved faith. You don't have the extra ingredient faith. You got the same faith Abraham had. You got the same faith Joshua had. You got the same faith Caleb had. It's in you right now. Brother Branham said, when he gives you the Holy Ghost, he puts in you everything you need for the journey. Amen. You know, I got faith tonight. When I leave here, I'm finished. I'm closing. I am. All right? But the Apostle Paul said, finally, brethren, three times. I got faith when I go out there and put this key in the ignition of my Toyota. It's going to start. And I don't have to look to Brother Costell and say, Brother Costell, do you have a key I could get that would start my car? I don't have to reach out to somebody else. I don't have to reach out to something. It's in there. It's in my pocket, Brother Layton. All I got to do is have faith to go out there and put it in like I have hundreds of times, and it'll start. Amen. Sorry. One last quote. And I'm told in the Old Testament, this is on a message, time-tested faith. And I'm told in the Old Testament that faith in the Old Testament was the same way it is in the New Testament. So many people stumble at the thought of faith. But it's so simple to have faith. For instance, you cannot move out of your seat. If you were able to come in and sit down, you cannot move from your seat unless you have faith that you'll do it. You cannot put your hat on again unless you have faith you can do it. Never can you draw another breath unless you have faith you can do it. Faith is so common that when we look at it for something a little unusual, we go way over the top of it, trying to find it's right next to us. Now, in the Old Testament, when the blood was applied over the lintels of the door, I'm told it was put on the hyssop, dipped in the blood and rubbed over the door. Hyssop is just common weed, and that's how it was applied by hyssop, something you could just reach down anywhere and get a handful of it. And how appropriate that is tonight to apply hyssop as faith. You put the blood on by faith. How we're covered by the blood, by faith, common faith. Well, you say, but for miracles and for healing, Brother Branham, it's some different type of faith. No, it's the same faith. Amen. There's only one faith. Amen. So you turn to the person next to you, like I'm going to Zion, and you say to them, Brother Zion, you have the faith of Shamgar. Amen. Do it. Amen. You have the faith of Abraham. You have the faith of Joab. You have the faith of David. You have that faith in you this evening. Exercise it.
I don't know how to do that.
He just told you. Just reach down with common faith, with hyssop, and apply the blood. So, I don't know where your family's at. I know where my family's at. My family's on the way to Calvary. I don't care what they post on Facebook. I don't care what they put on Twitter. I don't care what they text. I don't care what they email. I don't care how many times they tell me, David, I don't want to hear anything about Brother Branham. I don't want to hear anything about this message. I don't want to hear it. 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 Praise God. Brother Anthony, it's more real today because I got 25-year faith working. I even got longer than that. How long did the man lay at the pool of Bethesda? 38 years? I got 38-year faith. Okay? What kind of faith you got? Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith can calm the raging sea. Faith can make the desert like a fountain. Faith will bring you glorious victory. I know y'all don't know that because that's an old Pentecostal tune, but it's still true. Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith can calm the raging sea. Faith can make the desert like a fountain. Faith will bring you glorious victory. You believe that? Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Worship with me. Faith can calm the raging sea. Oh, faith can make the desert like a fountain. Faith will bring you glorious victory.
In God.
Just as they play that softly, I'll ask you what Brother Branham asked time after time after time in a prayer line. Sister, you didn't realize you had that much faith. Brother, you didn't know you had that much faith, did you? I trust by the power of the Holy Spirit, His anointing, not anything that I did or said, but you realize tonight, I've got faith that I've never even put to use. I got faith that'll move a mountain. I got faith that'll calm a raging sea. I've got faith that'll handle any situation that I'm in. I hope you've realized that tonight. That was my purpose. That was my reason for yielding myself, so that the Holy Spirit could speak to you like that. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I've preached what you laid up on my heart. I've preached it with everything that I know how. I've used everything that you explained to me. And Lord, I went down avenues tonight that I didn't even realize I was going to go down, because your Holy Spirit was directing somebody's. I believe that somebody's door got knocked on tonight. I believe that somebody heard you pull up in their front yard, in their driveway, and come up and knock on their door. I pray, Lord, that they would open up to you and they would yield to you, and that they would let you begin to work on that faith that's inside of them. Lord, they don't have to reach out to this person. They don't have to reach out to this seminary or this group, Lord, but it's laying right there. It's in them already. Help them, Lord. Just as we bow our heads in His presence, the presence of the Holy Ghost is real in this place right now. Not because I said so. Not because He wants to prove me right, but because He wants to vindicate His word, and He wants to open up your understanding and give you revelation of who you really are and the power that lies within you. If you would just raise your hand, if you realize now that there's more that lies within you than what you've yielded yourself to, God can do anything. He can do anything. And some of you need a miracle. Some of you need a real miracle in your life. Just lift your hand to Him. I'm not looking. Don't want anybody looking around. We're not here to see or to be seen. We're here in the presence of Almighty God to acknowledge, Lord, you've spoke to my heart tonight, and you've helped me to understand, Lord, that what lies within me is greater than that what lies ahead of me. Heavenly Father, take this word tonight, Lord, and let it settle in their hearts. And may they realize, Lord, in the morning, that mountain's not as big as it was last night. My situation isn't as dire as it was described to me by Satan. But I serve a prayer-answering God, and He lives within me. And I'm going to turn Him loose and let Him exercise in my life. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us now in this presence to yield to you. In Jesus' name, amen. One more song and I'll turn it over to Brother Nathan. I'll have to sing the whole song because I don't think he knows it. And I can't turn the pulpit over to him on a song he doesn't know. But you just sing with me if you do know it. Let's try E-flat, brother. Let me hear that.
Oh, yes, the answer's on the way. This I know. Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows our needs before we pray. And you can rest assured the answer's on its way. Oh, yes, the answer's on its way. This I know. Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Father knows our need before we pray. Shall we stand? you're seeking for an answer every day. If by faith you'll start believing, mighty soon you'll be receiving, for the answer is already on its way. Oh yes, the answer's on its way. This I know. Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows me before we pray, and He can rest assured the answer's on its way.
God bless you. Thank you for your patience and bearing with me, allowing me to deliver what God laid on my heart. I pray it's been a blessing to you, your pastor, Brother Nathan.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you thankful that you can have the same faith like Abraham and the same faith like all those others? Brother Abraham said there's many faiths, but there's only one, the faith. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together just a little bit before we go. Let's sing this together. Oh, Lord, I'm determined to keep on believing. Though others fall away, I'll keep on receiving. God's word, and I'm standing. So by the grace of God, I'll keep on believing. Oh Lord, I'm determined to keep on believing. Though others fall away, of God, I'll keep on receiving. Let's sing it again. Oh, Lord, I'm determined to keep on believing. Though others fall away, I'll keep on receiving. Oh, for I'm fully persuaded of God, I'll keep on believing. Oh Lord, I'm determined to keep on believing. Though others fall away, I'll keep on receiving. Oh, for I'm fully persuaded of God, I'll keep on believing. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was made to overcome. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water of the Word. Oh, I was made to overcome. He's with me wherever I go. He's with me wherever I go. He's with me wherever I go. For I was made to overcome. He'll never leave me.
know he'll never leave me. I know he'll never leave me. I know. Oh, I was made to overcome. My healing is already been paid. My healing is already paid. My healing is already paid. Oh, I was made to overcome. And my sins are under the blood. My sins are under the blood. My sins are under the blood. Oh, I was made to overcome. He's washed me whiter than snow. He washed me whiter than snow. He washed me whiter than snow. Oh, I've been made to overcome. His spirit is living inside. His spirit is living inside. His spirit is living inside. Oh, I was made to overcome. The sun is setting me free. The sun is setting me free. The sun is setting me free. Oh, I was made to overcome. And my family is under the blood. My family is under the blood. My family is under the blood. Oh, I was made to overcome. I know every giant will fall. I know every giant will fall. I know every giant will fall. I was made to overcome. My mountain has started to move. My mountain has started to move. My mountain has started to move. Oh, I was made to overcome. My valley is almost behind. This valley, it's almost behind. The valley is almost behind. And I was made to overcome. My every need he'll supply. My every need he'll supply. My every need he'll supply. Oh, I was made to overcome. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I was made to overcome. My miracle's on the way right now. My miracle's on the way right now. My miracle's on the way right now. Oh, I was made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was made to overcome. My miracle's on the way right now. My miracle's on the way right now. My miracle's on the way right now. Oh, I was made to overcome. My mountain has started to move. My mountains have started to move. My mountains have started to move. Oh, I was made to overcome. I know every giant will fall. I know every giant will fall. I know every giant will fall. Oh, I was made to overcome. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water. Oh, washed by the water. Oh, I was made. Oh, Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King of Kings. King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah, He's the King of Kings. Oh, Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Messiah, He's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, He's the King of Kings. Oh, He's the Lord of Lords. Oh, my Messiah, He's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah, He's the King of Kings. Is the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah, He's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, and He's the King of Kings. And He's the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah is the King of Kings. Kings, He's the King of Kings. Oh, He's the Lord of Lords. Oh, my Messiah, He's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. So I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. I'm gonna claim His promise. He will supply. Oh, we're gonna walk together, my Lord and I. I wanna stand for Jesus. Let the just walk with me, Lord. Oh, walk with me. Oh, walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Oh, and while I'm on this pilgrim journey. Judge, I want Him to be my friend. Be my friend, Lord. Come and be my friend, Lord. And while I'm on this pilgrim journey, oh, I need Jesus to walk with me. Just walk with me, Lord. Oh, walk with me, Lord. Everywhere I go, walk with. When I'm on my job or my school or in the store, walk with me. Walk with me to church. Walk with me to my home. Walk with me. Everywhere I go, while I'm on this pilgrim journey. Oh, I need Jesus to walk with me. Let's sing it one more time. Oh, walk with me. Lord, we need You. Oh, to walk with me. Oh, Jeffersonville, New Albany, Sellersburg, Charlestown, while I'm on down into Louisville, wherever I go on my journey. Oh, I need Jesus to walk with me.
Amen. Is that your desire? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, for those of you that were wondering, Brother Hoover doesn't have some secret revelation on the names of Enoch's grandchildren. But for those of you who hasn't gone and showed you pictures and bragged on them, his grandchildren are Titus and Molly. So when he said, Enoch, how could Enoch even go, you know, and just not even think about Titus and Molly, but so close to God that he just kept walking. Amen. So sometimes you got to read yourself in, or your grandchildren, or your children, or whatever it is. Amen. It's good to read ourselves in. Amen. God bless you. It's been good to be in church. Appreciate Brother Hoover yielding to the Holy Spirit. And amen. I believe he was speaking to needs tonight. The Lord speaking through him. And got a prayer request. Want to remember again, we'd prayed for him a while back, but got a prayer request for Brother Jeremy Bird's friend, James. He's a co-worker there with Brother Jeremy. He's got cancer and needs a physical touch from the Lord. So let's just remember him as we go to prayer tonight. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been good to be in your presence. Lord, as we leave this building, Lord, we would ask, Lord, may we never leave your presence. Lord, but may your presence go with us wherever we go. Watch over us and protect us. Bring us back at the appointed time, Father. Lord, may we come prayed up and, Lord, come expecting. Lord, we thank you for what you did for us today in the services. We thank you for the special meetings that have just passed by, Lord. But, Lord, we're coming again with expectations for what you'll do in our life on Monday and what you'll do on Tuesday, what you'll do on Wednesday. Lord, we want to live a life for you every day. And Lord, for this friend of Brother Jeremy's, Lord, this co-worker by the name of James, Lord, I pray that you'd be with him. Lord, the doctors don't really know what to do, Lord, and it seems like Satan has just attacked his body, but may you move on the scene, Lord. The same God that healed, Lord, this contact that Brother Barry has of cancer when the doctor said only 2 months to live, Lord, you can still heal this gentleman as well, Father. May a testimony come forth from it. Lord, be with us all as we go our separate ways. Protect us on the roads. Lord, keep us anchored in you, Father. Lord, wherever we go, whether it be at work or school or any place that we go this week, Lord, may our light shine before men that they can see a living reality of Jesus Christ, that you're still changing lives, that you still care about individuals, Father. We love you tonight. May we go out of here encouraged in the word, Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word, Lord. I believe we've heard the word tonight. May it stir our hearts, and may we go out encouraged to do something for you, Lord, and for others. Lord, may we be a blessing to others that we come in contact with. Father, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. We give you glory and praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Let's sing this as we go tonight. You can be dismissed as we sing it. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life.
Victory.
in the presence of Jehovah God.
His name again.